Now, what we have is, we said last week we're going to speak about the holiday, put that in quotes, the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. Now, first thing you got to know is like this. So there's a Mishnah, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that begins the Sechta of Rosh Hashanah. So this is like, is Tu B'Shvat mentioned anywhere in our writings? We start early with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah begins by saying that there are four New Years. In America, by the way, it's not such a crazy thing to think that. We have the New Year of January 1st. We have the tax year of whatever that is, I don't even know.
School year,
absolutely. Most people have NFL football year. That's like a big one, right? Gambling year. It goes coming back now. Came a whole year.
Super Bowl year,
right? So there's different years. So we also, in Judaism, they stole that from us. There's different years. And the years are, so the first one is Be'echad B'Nisan. First day of Nisan, you wouldn't assume that one's coming up. That comes up right away. That's Rosh Hashanah for something we're not going to discuss now. Echad Be'elul is another one. And then we have Echad B'Tishrei, that's the famous one. And then we have a Machloikis, Abaya, Be'Sham Be'Silo. Either Echad B'Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, either the first day of the month of Shvat or the 50th of Shvat is going to be a new year. What do they mean a new year for? It's a new year for, it says, for the trees. And what it simply means is that we have a concept of tithing and giving certain crops laws of Miser. And we have to ideally, maybe not ideally, depends on the one, you have to give from the same, within the same growth year. When does the growth year begin and end? Growth begins for trees, not for the other stuff, but trees. It is Tu B'Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Shvat on August. The Gemara explains why. What's going on then? So the Gemara says that that's when we don't see it. I don't know if it's universal, depends where they live then, that the sap in the tree start, you can't see that obviously, that the sap is starting to go up, and that's the new sap, which will turn into the fruits, will turn into the new year. So the sap arising, whatever the word is, the sap showing up day one is because that's the new year. Other rabbis say it's because the rain of the, most of the rain year has ended around now. Again, probably depends on where you're living. And the rain season has ended, so that's the old crop, now start the new crop. Okay, so really, it would not be what we would call a holiday at all. It wouldn't be a holiday. It's a day of a practical law where we separate in the laws of tithing. Some of the rabbis asked, going back a couple hundred years ago, they say, listen, if this is true, if that's the reason for the whole thing, then we shouldn't be celebrating anything outside of Israel. But we don't do these things outside of Israel. We don't separate tithes and these things outside of Israel. And yet we... How do we know it exists outside of Israel? Interesting enough, there's a controversial. I'm saying controversial. There's something called the Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni is like a Targum, which we have on Chumash. We have Targum Onkelos, Targum Yonis of Azil, Targum Yerushalmi on the Chumash. On Esther, there's something called Targum Sheni. That's not controversial. That's real. Targum Sheni is real. But for some reason, at one point in history, newer editions have newer words added in. The question is, where are these... Later editions. We're talking later editions means a couple of years ago. Not, all of a sudden had new things. In one of the versions of the Targum Sheni, quoted by the Zecher Dovitz, it's a real Italian safe a couple of years ago. But again, in most original manuscripts, I think it's not there. It says that when Haman, we all know as a kid, Haman was making a goyro, the name Pur, right? The girl is a Pur, hence the name Purim, which we discussed a different time. Hence the name Goyro Pur. He was making a lottery to decide when is the optimum time to go after the Jews. And it got to Adar, and he was like, this is great. I said, why are you so happy? He goes, because there's no holiday for the Jews in Adar, not realizing that he was the holiday. But when it goes through the months of what was going on, according to the later versions of the Targum Sheni, it seems to be that someone added in, unless it was the original version, depends who you ask, controversial stuff. But it says there that when it came to, he said, oh, it's not in the month of Shabbat, because the month of Shabbat has a holiday of Tu B'Shvat. So if we accept that as is, which I'm telling you is not so clear, that means that the holiday... Haman, as we know, was not living in, he wasn't necessarily, he was in Shushan, right? The whole story of Shushan. He was not necessarily, and he was talking about them celebrating it over there. So we have a Rosh Hashanah of Ilanis, talking about Rosh Hashanah, which is not practical. I saw in a Sefer, I thought it was sarcastic, but I'm not really sure. He says, if it's the new year for the trees, let the trees celebrate. Why are we celebrating a holiday? I'm assuming it's sarcastic, but it was not a Sefer that you would assume writes in sarcasm. So just, we're so cynical that we think he's writing sarcastically. But I'm not sure. But it seems to me that practically, Shulchan Aruch barely discusses it.
How do we know they don't?
I mean, maybe the trees are celebrating.
How does he know they don't celebrate?
Right. Maybe there is a celebration, but right, we're copying the trees. So, in halachically speaking, Shulchan Aruch doesn't really talk about it much. Today, again, big thing. Shulchan Aruch mentions it a couple times. First of all, it does say you don't fast. That's a law. There are certain days here we don't fast. It says you don't fast. What's the reason why you don't fast? So it seems when you look at the Vilna Gaon and the commentaries that they explain from this Mishnah, they say since the Mishnah calls it a Rosh Hashanah, and or since the Mishnah lists it with a bunch of other days that you won't say Tachnun, therefore it's like together you don't say Tachnun. What are the other days we just said? Let's go through now. Echad B'Nissan, first day of Nissan, we do not say Tachnun. Do you know why we don't say Tachnun first day of Nissan? Really, because it's Rosh Chodesh. I mean, I don't want to be sarcastic now, but
you never say it on Rosh Chodesh.
We do not say Tachnun on any Rosh Chodesh.
Any Rosh Chodesh, why Nissan is specified?
So Nissan's a new year for certain things. But wait, there's two things. The Mishnah's quoting the New Year's. Now, within the New Year's, it says Tu B'Shvat. So why don't we say Tachnun? Why don't we fast on Tu B'Shvat? So the Gemara says, oh, either because it's a new year or because it's listed with the other New Year's. What is listed with the other New Year's even? What do the words mean, listed with the other New Year's? The other New Year's, by the way, don't say Tachton, not because they're necessarily New Year's, but because Echad B'Nissan is, again, we just said, first day. Echad B'Elul, guess what day that comes out on? Rosh Chodesh Elul. Echad B'Tishrei, I mean, that's Rosh Hashanah. So it's a little odd, potentially, to say that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch is ruling, don't fast on Tu B'Shvat, because it's linked together. When, wait a second, I don't know what the linkage is. Or you could say it's just called Rosh Hashanah, and it has some type of halitic, if that's even a word, name.
But you started by saying there's a debate as to whether or not it's the first or the 15th. If it was the first,
correct.
If it was the first of Shvat, then it would be Rosh Hashanah, so you wouldn't have the issue.
But that's not right, yes. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying we don't fast on Tu B'Shvat.
I understand, but they're saying, but you said Tu B'Shvat could either be the first or it could be the 15th.
Yes and no. You're okay. You're right and you're wrong. I'll tell you why. The word Tu B'Shvat
means
can't be 15th, on the first.
Means
the 15th.
I understand.
Yeah. So when the new year begins for the trees of crops is an argument first or 15th. But so if it's the first, we definitely won't fast on that day. We don't fast on the first of any month.
Does it say in that we don't fast on Tish on
that
Tu B'Shvat?
Is what, the,
or does it say we don't fast on the new year of trees?
No, Tu B'Shvat. That's why I said. So this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is only discussing new years. And it calls Tu B'Shvat 15th of a new year. Because it's a new year, possibly, we don't fast on that day. It's like a funny thing. When we celebrate Tu B'Shvat in the time of the 1500s, the Beis Yosef, we don't fast on Tu B'Shvat. That doesn't sound like a great idea. It's what not to do. And this is the second time, by the way, where it talks about, I'm talking about not fasting, and not saying Tachnun. You don't say Tachnun, you don't put your head down, and you don't fast. When you don't fast, if it came out to a Monday or a Thursday during the Beis, Bob, and it came out, Shulchan Aruch discussed it. Shulchan Aruch really mentioned it twice, both about what not to do. Don't fast, don't put your head down during Tachnun. Now, obviously for us, being cynical people, any day you don't got to bow down is a holiday for us. It goes reverse. Is it a holiday, therefore you don't put your head down? Or you don't put your head down, therefore you make it a holiday? I don't know how you mirror image that one. But okay, but we have that. So we have, if you stop at the 1500s of what's regular, authoritative stuff, more stuff comes out later. But in the original authoritative stuff, you would say, listen, I don't know why we're celebrating. I don't know why we're jumping around, whether we're making a holiday. There's nothing much going on. Now, the Magen Avraham, already 1600s, is quoting Svarim from the 1500s. He's a commentator on the side of the Gemara, saying that, by the way, there's a custom that people should eat and make a bracha by a priya eight. So it already became, we're going back a few hundred years, within the time of the Shulchan Aruch, right after the same, by the way, certain things, events happened. It became some type of holiday that we celebrate something. Make a Shechayanu maybe, and he's bringing different things in. But in the strict code of laws, it doesn't say it, and the Mishnah doesn't seem to say it at all. So we figured we'll take a little bit of a detour today, and we'll come up with a very original idea of why potentially Tu B'Shvat is a real holiday. A holiday that's worth celebrating. A holiday that is celebrated. So like this, I'll do a little traveling again today. All the way back to the beginning of time, Keeves. One Perek Aleph, Pasuk 11. That's early on, right? We're on page 5. I mean, how early can you get in that already? And it's the third day of creation, Yedidya. And it says like this. God said, call to the dry land, earth, and to the gathering of waters. He called seas. Okay, named them. God saw it was good. Now it goes again. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. A lot of words here that we don't use in our regular vocabulary. Herbage, yielding seed. Okay, I don't know if you've ever said that phrase in your life in one sentence. let you sprout vegetation, herbage yielding seed, fruit trees yielding fruit, each after its kind, containing its own seed on the earth. So as we know, it's also quoted, God commanded that the vegetation should grow its own seed within itself. Okay, that's one way of doing it. And then at verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth vegetation, herbage yielding seed after its kind, and trees yielding fruit. And Rashi says, they say there. No, they don't say there. I can't believe that. Okay. What Rashi does say in verse 11 is like this, that originally what God wanted was the bark should be equal tasting to the fruits of the tree. Barks should taste like fruits. He lost the king. That's not what happened. Whoever God was speaking to didn't do it. We will assume from here on forth, God is speaking to Mother Nature. God is telling Mother Nature, he lost the king. Mother Nature did not do it. El Batoitzi Aretz, the eighth oysterbria created bark that creates fruits. So we have God making a serious command. And Mother Earth, the angel of man of Earth, that's what I put it, that's what we're creating here, decided, I'll switch it up. That's very, very difficult to believe on 100 levels, on literally 100 levels. Years ago, rabbihubba.com, if you put in the word selichos, S-E-L-I-C-H-O-S, I spoke a couple years ago, not here, but in the selicha thing, about do the sun and earth have the ability to say no one day? That's a debate. It seems to be an argument in Sukkot. Does the sun have a right not to rise in the east? Different verses seem to say different things. Sometimes it says, look at that. Look what the sun's doing, and follow the sun without reward. It means the sun has some type of ability. And other places it says, no, the sun has no chance whatsoever. We're going to move that similar conversation to Mother Nature. So it seems like Mother Nature has the power of refusal, not a refusal, of not listening to God. Because Mother Nature here didn't do what God's command is, if you read it simply. Again, there are other ways to understand it, but the simple version is that God commanded X and Mother Nature produced Y. Go.
I'm having a hard time with the expression Mother Nature because I always thought it was the trees didn't do what God commanded. So not that there's some intermediary that controls the trees, but the trees themselves.
Okay. You don't like it, but either way, the question is, could trees say no? That's you just don't like question. Mother Nature.
I don't like the idea that there's some intermediary between Hashem and the trees called Mother Nature.
The reason why I'm using Mother Nature, but fine, is because usually we believe there's angelic forces above nations, above lands. All right, you're saying it sounds gosh. I'm going to say that we're going to see what Tu B'Shvat might be about.
Okay.
I'm going to say, we're going to get there now, and I'm going to say, I said wild early on?
I said very unique.
Unique, I said?
You said very unique.
You can't. Not Michael's on. Michael screams when I say very unique. Yeah, Michael screams when I say very unique. yeah, that's why I said it. But what we are going to, this is the goal we're going to get to. The goal we're going to get to is that Tu B'Shvat is our Earth Day. We're ahead of the vegan, save the planet, global guys by about 2,000 years. And if not, well, it depends when you say this all started. This is going to be our Mother Earth Day. That's what I'm using. So, but let's go back to Mother Earth right now. Mother Nature. So Mother Nature, amazingly, turned down God's request and said, you know what, God, I like what you're saying. There's advantages to having bark that tastes like fruit. But you know what? I have a whole different idea of what I think is that. And obviously the early commentators are going to write away and say, whoa, what would be the idea behind it? Now, in the later commentaries, later still means Hasidic 1700s, maybe early 1800s, they're going to say like this. Unbelievable, am I that? They say that Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Earth Day, fell on the sword for mankind. Because Mother Earth realized, planning out something, that at one point in history, mankind is not going to stay where they should stay. It ain't going to be at the level of God creating Adam, being nearly equal to God, where if you look at the Rashis here, the nature of the world, whatever that means, the angels thought that Adam was a God. That's how serious it was. And he realized that that's not going to stay. Mankind is fallible. So what Mother Nature did was, he said, you know what mankind comes from? Mankind comes from Earth, Mother Earth. Adam was created from Adama, from the land itself. So what Mother Earth did was, Mother Nature, Mother Earth decided, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to sin right away. I'm going to do something wrong for positive other reasons as well, and I'm going to do something wrong, and that therefore, in the DNA, the genetic code of every human being in the history of the world, they have an answer to say, I'm bad code. Why am I bad code? Because my mother, who birthed me, probably why it's mother nature, not father nature, but because the mother who birthed us said, I'm going to take them for the team, and from now on, anytime there's going to be a transgression by mankind, what mankind can do is tell God, listen, by the way, sorry about that, but you know, it's natural for me. It's natural for me to sin because I was born out of sin. I was created out of sin because the land sinned. So the reason why Mother Nature did something wrong is for our sake. Now, do we ever say thank you? Are we going to say, wow, that's a big one. That's for eternity. Mother Nature took the hit for us. Yes, one day a year. Jewish Earth Day. That's the name of this week's class. Jewish Earth Day. Jewish Earth Day is Tu B'Shvat. It's the day where we turn around and we tell Mother Nature, you know what? We salute you. We have two ways how we salute people in Judaism, by the way. One is we hold up a glass of wine, we say L'chaim. We eat. But the second way we do it is, what does it say? No tachlin. The other thing we do is, what does it say to the minigas? To make a what? Fire creates. It's saying we want to make a blessing on the trees. I have a friend of mine, a big rabbi, and he always tells me, listen, Havna, I hope I have a sentence from the clip now if you get this clip out. He always tells us, in most areas in life, I'm lenient. If there's a question A or B, I take the lenient side. He said, but when it comes to food, I take the strict side.
Mekel.
That Mekel's everywhere else. Machmir when it comes to food. So he says that even though you're going to look at the original sources, Shulchan Aruch is only talking about tachlan and fasting. Don't fast. And nowadays, it became a major event. You could probably go on all these stations. You're going to have every Hasidic Rebbe having a massive tish, as they say, and making every single blessing of every single food and partying and singing and dancing. So he told me, my friend, listen, when it comes to the food, I go with that. I take the strict side. I'm strict to make every single blessing. So we make our Adama and a Bar Priyates. But what we have here now, Shachiyama is a question with truth. That's a question on what truth it is. So now, what we have here is Mother Nature falling on the sword. That being the secret of this great holiday. And because of this, one day a year, we just like everything else, one day a year. One day we sat back and we said, you know what? Thank you. Now, where do we see, am I coming up with this wild thank you? Let's find, span the Chumash here and see how it constantly comes up. Now, what would be one of the great sins of Klal Yisrael? Chapter 32 in Shemais, the Jews failed when they had a golden calf. They had a golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu, our great hero, decided that he's going to defend. He's going to smash the tablet, and then he's going to pray. Here it says, when Moses hesitated to bow his head toward the ground.
That's again, so
on page 511 on top.
Say what chapter verse?
511, it's 34:8. And it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's funny, in English, they say it better. Moshe hastened to bow his head toward the ground because part of his defense of the Jews during this great time was this. We go to the next page. The next page we have here, go to page 717 of Vayikra, 26:42. And I will remember, God saying, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, famous verse, and also my covenant with Isaac, also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember? What's the next words? And I will remember the land? What? What did the sum, the Bajanarov, he says? Of course that's what it's saying. Because every time you're going to hear about God doing something with us, he's going to remember the land. The land being the concept of Mother Nature standing up for mankind and protecting us, taking the sword, that's what we celebrate. And that's why we do a Bar Priyates. We do a Bar Priyates or Bar Priyates as well, to say thank you to Mother Earth, but we know deep down, you took one for the team. Now this idea comes up many times in the Chumash. You're going to see now. If you start looking around, you'll see a lot of times that it talks about the earth being that. It's very interesting.
What about Shemitah? Is Shemitah year related to it?
In fact, it's brought down by the Shemitah as well. That one of the reasons, in fact, the Ma'ar V'Shemesh.
Shabbos for the land.
Ma'ar V'Shemesh is a very ascetic sefer. Ma'ar V'Shemesh in Parshas Bahar, which talks about Shemitah, mentions this idea. This idea is brought down in other Svarim in different locations. Some on Bereshis when it happens. Some in Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Ma'ar V'Shemesh in Parshas Bahar, we talked about Shmi Tviyavu, says, I want to tell you something. He quotes it from the Berdishava, this idea that the Berdishava says that Mother Nature helped us out. But in a few places, and he there has a whole extension of why we give a year off for the land, not exactly what we're saying, but very similar. Our Earth Day. Never let it be said that the religious Jews don't believe in saving the planet. We believe in thanking the planet consistently, every time. By the way, every time some say you make a Baruch Pri Adama or Baruch Pri Eitz, you're supposed to have this thought in mind. According to some Hasidic guys, every time a guy is saying, Hashem created the earth, created the Eitz, created the Adama, you say, by the way, and it defended me to no one. And it had the defense for me. The defense is, we only do once a year, but that's what it's about.